Blah, blah, blah. It's another Trombonus episode. It's just Rob, Engineer Joey, and a pocket full of dreams as we baby, come on, get loose with Canada's ska new metal maestros, The Salads, on Checkered Past, the Skodcast. What up, checkerheads? Welcome to Checkered Past, the Skodcast with Celine and Rob, the show where a scombrosia made of marshmallows, mayo, and cherries, poppin' daddies, and a scaprizi salad made of basil, tomatoes, and what's in the sticks 13-year-olds think of when they hear the real big fish, explore the history and impact of a different band each episode, and hope to bring in new fans along the way. I'm Rob, and this is my co-host with the most toast, Engineer Joey.
Wow.
I went through a lot.
Yeah, I liked the second one, but I don't even want scambrosia salad, to be honest.
I've never had.
No.
No. Ooh. It sounds nasty.
I there's no fucking way, man. Get that shit away from me. It's super weird.
Okay. Mount Rushmore of salads. Let's do it. What's the Mount Rushmore?
I mean, Caprese is right up there.
Caprese is like that's George like Washington,
number
man.
Number one, yeah. Almost. A good Caesar?
Oh, yeah, of course a Caesar salad.
Honestly, I just like a house salad sometimes.
Oh, yeah, just like throw some balsamic on there.
Yeah, or like a little bit of ranch even.
Sure.
Yeah, just straight up.
Some ranch.
But to be honest, I like a regular like house salad. Get those red onions out of here, though. But switch out the lettuce with like spinach. Like a spinach salad, but like a house salad.
I like a house salad. How do you fuck with like a pasta salad?
Every now and then. Yeah. I know it's like not my favorite, but if I'm having like barbecue-y stuff or we're just getting like sides from the grocery store or whatever, like a salad or something.
Salad, tater salad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Tater salad's great.
Yeah, I put them almost together.
Yeah.
Like mayo-based salad. So that's a good Mount Rushmore. We got the Caprese salad.
Yeah.
We got the Caesar salad.
Yeah.
We got the house salad, which is hilarious. And then we got a mayo-y barbecue salad. Hey man,
there's a reason vanilla is like the number one flavor.
Okay.
it's kind of boring, but also it's like kind of delicious and everything. So it is what it is, right?
Editor Ariane is all about like a really like hearty salad, like a Cobb.
Yep, yep.
Or a Cobb adjacent salad.
Mm-hmm. I like a Cobb salad every now and then. I used to.
I think I could be in the mood. Like I feel like it's a lot going on.
I used to grab them every now and then from an unnamed grocery chain, which I will no longer be purchasing anything at. It was rare though. It was like an every now and then, like that, you know. But I'm sad that I can't get my sushi there now.
What do you consider poke a salad?
Never had it.
What?
Never poked.
It's delicious.
Never poked.
You know what? Like, I thought, oh, trendy bullshit.
Don't really play Pokemon. Never had a poke bowl.
Poke bowls.
Yeah.
Greater than sign poke balls.
Better than it.
No, maybe not. But, I mean, it's just fun to say.
Yeah, that is fun to say.
Poke bowls are delicious. Again, it's another mayo delivery vehicle.
Okay.
But it's like,
and it's
great.
What all goes into it?
Well, so you got the poke, the fish,
yeah,
right, which is like a tuna usually,
yeah,
and then you got the mayo based dressing. You can get it with a non mayo based dressing, but that's usually what it is.
Okay,
possibly rice, some kind of like thing to like soak it all up. I've seen it with salad with lettuce.
So it's kind of like a cold rice bowl.
But it could like be with lettuce too. I've had poke bowls with lettuce instead or like a spinach.
Okay.
And like avocado is a big part of it usually. And like other like, you can really Hawaiian it up. Like I've seen it with Spam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like you can just make it like a whole thing.
That makes sense.
You know, like Hawaiian food is delicious because they love carbs.
And salt.
And salt.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't? And mayo? They love mayo, salt, and carbs.
Those are good things.
Yeah.
Mayo is, like, kind of so-so for me, but, like, I get it.
Mayo's the best.
It's just because it doesn't treat me very well.
Nah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Should we pick it up where we left off? This is after big salad talk. This is going to be... Yeah. You should play the thing.
Oh, yes.
Pick it up, pick it up. Where we left off. Pick it up, where we left off.
All right, what do we want to talk about today, Joey?
It's been months, months and months of no progress. But you know what happened over the last few days? I picked up a controller and I played Zelda Tears of the Kingdom with the goal of actually completing something.
Instead of just
aimlessly wandering around.
Getting those seeds.
Yeah, and doing like absolutely nothing like I do every single time I turn it on. So I completed the portion where you do the Zora and Sidon's whole thing. And I got their gunk out of their sky.
Yep.
They have clean water once again, those Zora. I know I'm a little late, everyone, but...
It's okay. It's a very popular video game.
I'm getting there. And I feel good about it. I feel like I've really accomplished something.
Is it fun? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
That's the number one thing.
It is a good game. It is a very good game. It's fun to play. Easy to get lost, though.
Yeah.
Easy to just get sidetracked by bullshit.
But I kind of like that. And I found it a lot more forgiving than Breath of the Wild by that logic. I found like with Breath of the Wild, you could wander away and like get absolutely nothing done.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Whereas Tears of the Kingdom, I feel like you wander away and at least you probably get something done while you're wandering.
Yeah, and it's dense enough that you like find something, whether or not it's like beneficial to what you're doing or has anything to do with what you're doing or trying to accomplish it. Like there'll be something there to do. You know what I mean? I think that's what happens is I go from that to that to that over and over again. And then I'm like, how come I'm so weak? Or how come? And I'm like, oh, because I haven't been doing anything that's like important to what I'm doing. I've just been helping a guy put up a sign everywhere or whatever.
Oh, you know that what I mean? I've done a bunch. I did all of those. Like, I don't know why I bothered. Like, I thought at some point, like, I'd get something for it.
He was going to give you something better than the three same things he gives you every fucking time.
And then I realized that, no, I'm just doing this, like, stupid physics puzzle that I do the same thing every single time.
Just make the same shit with the same.
I build gallows.
Yeah.
Like, I should hang somebody off of it. And then that's how I build signs. And then he just, like, turns around and makes it better anyway. He, like, reinforces it. I'm like, fuck, dude, I could just hold this.
I could have held it while you were doing that, man. You could have put two of those things in, and it would have been, like, solid enough that this wouldn't have been an issue.
Also, that dude has a shitty job. That job sucks.
That's not even his job, I don't think. He just supports the president so much that he's choosing to do it.
Was that it? I mean, it has been a year since I played it.
I believe that's his thing.
That's unfortunate.
And I mean, I stop and help him every time.
Every time. I mean, that's got to be a good Samaritan about it.
You have to be.
Yeah.
That's Link, right?
Yeah.
He's there to help. But yeah, I don't know. Anyways. Stuff's happening. I'm excited to go to Gerudo Town. I assume that's where one of the other phenomena is happening. And
yeah, you hit them all. You got the bird people.
I did the bird people.
We got to do that number one.
The birds and the fishes.
You got birds and the fishes.
They're done. They're out of the way. Now I need the rock eaters.
Yeah.
And I need the ladies.
Yeah. And then you're all done.
Yeah.
Well, then you have to beat Ganon. But yeah, there's more to go.
I mean, you're all done. That's it.
We had an adventure yesterday. We went and dumped some shit off, and that was fun.
Yep.
So I don't own a large vehicle, like a van or a truck or anything.
Yeah,
so.
I do, but it squirts power steering fluid everywhere. It hasn't driven in a couple of years, so.
Squirts power steering fluid everywhere. This is what you should put on your, like, Facebook Marketplace ad for it. $1 or best offer. You have to pick it up.
The thing's worth at least like $750.
There you go. That was a Simpsons reference. Sorry, $1 best offer is from the Simpsons. Sorry. So I had to go rent a U-Haul, and it was the most bizarre experience of my life. Like, renting a U-Haul is like absolutely.
It ain't what it used to be.
It ain't what it used to be. I don't understand their business model to start with. Like, the money that you pay for them, it seems like arbitrary. Like,
yeah, it's very arbitrary. It's a made up number.
They show
man.
Like $20 on the side of the van, and by the time you're done, it's like $50, $60, which I'm expecting.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I have to get them to walk me through the math every time. I'm like, please make me understand what the problem is. Not the least of which, like, when I got there, they only had one left. And the numbers, like, the number on the key was not the number on the van. So they screwed up when they rented another van out. And then the the amount of fuel they said was in the van was way off. Like they were like, oh, it's like 2/3 full, and then it's like a quarter tank when I walked in there. And so I had to haggle and argue with them, and they're like, well, you should have gone on the app. And I was like, I didn't go on the app. I came to you. This person, you, the person.
And I have learned recently in the last couple of years, I've rented a U-Haul a couple of times, that it's all about the app because the people who work for that company seem to be fucking useless.
They don't seem to be having a great time.
No. I mean, when I go in there, I do not enjoy myself. So if I worked there, I assume I would not be enjoying myself as well. So that has something to do with it, I'm sure. But when you do... when you do it on the app, it's just a whole lot less hassle. But also now you get to pick it up at random convenience stores.
That's strange,
is
though.
5 or 6 kilometers away from where you actually need to be or anywhere. So like, it's like it's almost impossible to get a vehicle that's convenient to you.
Yeah.
In order to not have to pay more kilometers because you have to drive 20 kilometers there and back just for the vehicle itself, right. You know, like it's pretty wild.
But we had to go dump up because like they do these things called big bin events in Edmonton where they set up like every weekend, they set up in a different part of the town, a place where you can just dump your garbage off. Like,
and it's free.
And they don't charge you for it. So it's great. But I keep forgetting every time I go to these that there's a gigantic line of vehicles to get in. We were probably in line for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours.
By the time we like got into the line and then I think got out of the facility, I think it was like 2:15.
That's
something
disgusting.
Like that. Like somewhere in around there.
In hindsight, that's just gross.
Yeah, it was
but
wild.
We did it. And now I don't have as much junk in my garage. But this the vehicle kept overheating like the whole time.
Because
U-Haul vans are made of cardboard. And as you said, they're air cooled.
Yeah, like
an air cooled engine.
Apparently, no fan. They don't have a fan, apparently, because if you sit there and you are not moving, it will just overheat.
Which is just bananas. Anyway, it was a fun experience. Me and Joey hung out, but for the most part, we were just sitting in a van for 2 hours.
Yeah,
just waiting to throw. And us actually throwing the garbage out took all of 5 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it was just like. The dumbest garbage.
The dumbest, yeah.
Like a treadmill and broken down old furniture and sunflowers.
Piles of sunflowers.
Dried sunflowers that are the size of your forearm. Huge, gigantic monster sunflowers.
Because our garbage people would not take them.
Well...
Unless you bundled them in
that's
equal...
That's the thing. So we have a program here as well where like certain times, a couple of times a year... they like pick up extra yard waste or whatever, which is good if you like have stuff that you can put into bags. But the stipulations for anything that's not in a bag are like bundles that have to be X big and blah, blah, blah. And we had a bunch of branches last year and I spent probably 5 hours processing branches into these bundles and they came and took them. But I was like, for the 5 hours that it took me, I could have gone and rented a U-Haul truck and just thrown them in the back of it, gone to an eco station, dumped them, and been done with it in an hour and a half, and it would have cost me $30. Like, I don't – that would have been worth it. You know what I mean? It was very stupid. So, I don't know. It's convenient that they do stuff like that, but sometimes they put so many stipulations on it that it's not the most useful thing in the world.
Yeah, for sure. So that's us. That's picking it up. Let's talk about the band that we're going to talk about today.
Oh,
this is one that Joey actually, I think very early on, maybe in our second year, came to me and said, we need to do this band at some point.
Yes.
Because it's wacky. So this is, I think, a group that not a lot of people are familiar with, unless you were in Canada in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because they had a massive monster... like one-hit wonder single that just like catapulted them into the stratosphere, and then they kind of petered out over time. But the band's The Salads. Joey, what is your history with this group, The Salads?
I listened to Fold A to B so many times. Like, what year did that one come out?
2001.
2000. Okay, so that would have been grade like 11 for me. That would have been fucking right in the sweet spot. So that one came out. My buddy had it. We listened to it like a lot. And then when I moved into the party house, it was on pretty solid, like pretty regular rotation. And then I saw them one time at Grant McEwen, our in-between college university place here in Edmonton.
Yeah, that's right.
At a toga party. And it was very stupid. But they fucking ripped. And it's just dumb party music. And I that one album I love very much. The other albums I've listened to a little bit, but Full Day to Be is like a like front to back banger after banger type album for me.
So aside from referring to them as dumb party music, how would you describe the Salads for the uninitiated?
You keep saying nu metal. I don't know how, like, it's definitely in there.
Yeah.
But like it's ska.
Right.
But it's party ska.
Right.
White boy party ska.
Yeah.
It has rapping.
Right.
But it also has really like wild technical guitar work, and the songwriting is not that stupid.
Right.
Like the songwriting is really smart. I believe the drummer, from what I remember, I believe the drummer and the guitarist were like actually like teachers of those instruments at some point. So they're really, really good.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. It's the lyrics are pretty crazy.
We were trading lyrics yesterday while we were in the car, just being like, I don't know, like, this is, it's very of the time. Very of the time.
I would say you couldn't make a Salads record today.
And they don't. They don't make Salads records today. They stopped about a decade ago. They were big in the dark. This is a Dark Ages ska band from Canada. I should mention this from Southern Ontario, Newmarket, Ontario. So they're from a place. This is the place where this
a
is like where
in a time.
This is like where Letterkenny is set. So you
oh,
know
is it really?
No, like in
or
and
like
around
in and around there?
That
yeah.
area.
Okay.
So if you've watched Letterkenny, you can understand like the town that the Salads kind of grew up in and the kind of stuff that they think about, which is like the lyrics are probably going to be about weed,
yep,
partying,
uh-huh,
just trying to make the most sophomoric jockeyest jokes they can.
Girls. Yep.
And that's about it.
That's it?
That's it.
I mean, they idolize David Lee Roth.
For sure.
So if you kind of take the ideals of a David Lee Roth and put them into a party ska band.
Yep.
I want to say ska core, but they have metal influence.
There's a lot of metal. There's a lot of funk stuff.
Yeah, a lot of funk stuff. That's pretty funky.
I'd say 311 is like a really good starting point for thinking about it, but like without the jam bandiness.
It definitely comes from the word. Like, it's kind of hard. The Salads are kind of tough that way because it's like you could say they kind of come from a world of Sublime.
Right.
Or 311.
Right.
But I wouldn't say that they sound like either 311 or Sublime. They don't really sound like either of those bands. They definitely have a more unique sound that's pulling from a lot more places.
Yeah.
But they do give off that energy.
Yeah.
So
anyway, you know what? Like we're prepping everybody.
Yeah.
So we're going to start. They have four records. So we're going to, I've cherry picked and daddied.
Can we go back to, you just reminded me. How did you word that in the intro?
Cherries poppin' daddies. Yeah.
Cherries poppin' daddies weirds me out.
Because it's cherries in the salad. Cherries are in an ambrosia salad.
I know that, but like the fact that the cherries are popping the daddies now is like a weird visual that it gave
me. You inverted it.
Yeah, it gave me a weird visual when you said it, and I kind of forgot, and we moved past it really fast, but yeah.
So the Salads first. So one thing with the Salads, I'll say they had their own record label, Maui Wowie Records.
That's weed.
Yeah, that's weed. You know, take a shot every time you hear a weed reference. I was also saying that I'm pretty sure
take
the Salads.
A shot of weed.
Yeah,
every time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, take a hit. I'm pretty sure the Salads themselves is a weed reference, but I'm not 100% on that.
Maybe.
But they had four records. One of them was distributed by EMI. The others they just self-released and put out. So you know. For what it's worth, DIY till they die. They released everything themselves, produced everything themselves.
Fuck yeah.
So their first record did not have a charting single. It's called Meanwhile the Salads. and it is a fucking listen from front to back. All of their stuff is streaming, by the way. So after you've, you know, listened to this episode and you really want to check it out, give it a whirl.
Full day to be for sure. Yeah. Go for it. Listen but to the whole
their thing. First record, meanwhile, is A Wild Ride. So this is the opening track, Return of Johnny Stubbs. Mm-hmm. 1998, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and this is the only one with horns.
This is where they had a full horn section, yes. Yes. Which I could not figure out who the horn section was and if they were of note.
Dude can sing.
Yeah.
He's got some pipes.
He's got some pipes.
Yeah. Doesn't sound awful.
This sounds pretty good. I like this song. Yeah. I like the like choral effect of the chorus. Like it's very cool. This whole record though does not sound like this.
No.
There's not that much like just like uber fast less than Jakey ska like that. Like that's very abnormal for that record. It's got a lot of funk metal.
That song is very of the time.
98? Oh yeah.
That is a 1998 ska song, that's for sure.
Here's another track from that one, Garden Gnome. It's a similar vibe. Yeah. A lot more singing.
Yeah, I feel like this is getting closer to what they're gonna sound like. A little more.
A little more. Still not rapping quite yet. No. The rappy stuff that comes up later.
That's fun. I would dance.
Yeah. You did. You saw them. They played the song.
I don't think they played this song. They did not have horns when I saw them. When I saw them, it would have been like probably 2006 or 7, somewhere in around
there. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like sounds like a Blues Brothers song, but ska. That's fun.
Do you like that?
I mean, it's okay. It's all right.
It's okay, right? Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's again, 98.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the time.
Yep.
Now, the third song I have from Meanwhile, this is what the album sounds like. So there's those two very ska songs. The rest of it sounds like this. This is the salad theme song.
Which, solid move. Love a theme song for a band. A band writing their own theme song and calling it their own theme song. Love that. Oh yeah, that's...
There you go.
Oh yeah, scratching? Oh, that's like strings scratching though.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick. Man, funk metal.
There's a little bit of an incubusiness to it.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. Breakdown.
Oh, yeah. This part's kind of sick.
So this is, that's where they get all corny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, this is definitely new metal-y for sure. Oh, yeah.
L. A.
He's so angry
about salad.
Yeah. He can save your soul. So funky.
So funky. And like, so much of this first record is like, I don't know how to put it, like 6, 7, 8 minutes long, like stretches of songs like this. Like, yikes. I do have to call out this. Okay, so whether or not you keep this is up to you.
No,
I have to say craziest lyric that's on this album.
It's so funny and it's staying in
the
and
I'm going to censor myself because it's really stupid and it's an awful lyric. But
holy shit!
Like the balls on them to write a lyric like this. one of the songs, not one that we played, they say, "She kicked me in the dick so hard, my kids came out R-word."
Absolutely incredible.
Which is so fucking bananas.
Bananas.
Again, you can't make a salads record today. But yeah, like that is like that is shocking. Like almost like, you know, today's sensibilities, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I fucking went for it.
Yeah, no fucking kidding. Like just had this punchline just like ready to go. And one of the things you said yesterday too is like they get a lot of words in.
He says a lot of words.
He's verbose.
Yeah,
he tries to cram
there
as much.
There are a lot of fucking words on these records.
Yeah, so yeah, they're not all going to be winners. Like honestly, he's a quantity over quality guy when it comes to his lyrics.
For sure, there is some quality lyrics in there.
If you can sneak out like a pretty good like one liner, you're like
a phrase
nice.
Every now
good,
and then for
good,
sure.
Good job.
Yeah,
and like the slantiest rhymes, like he's just. Like, just, like, he's not even concerned that the words necessarily line up. He'll just pronounce them weird just to make them happen.
Totally, it's great.
Because he's really into late 90s rap, and that's when that happened, right?
Yep.
So that's Meanwhile the Salads. This is their entry point into the world of music.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until 2003, not 2001, 2003, when the record you're talking about, Fold A to B, came out.
Okay, that would have been just after high school for me.
Yeah,
but hell yeah.
They put this record together. It was self-released and self-produced, but they were able to get a distribution deal from EMI. But one thing that they were not expecting was that one of the lead-in single was going to be as fucking huge as it was for that one summer. And this is the one and only Get Loose by The Salads. Dare you for this not to get stuck in your head.
So
dare you.
Good.
Dare you.
You think it's Sum 41, but then. Ah. That's
a lot of
party. That's a party right there. Party with you.
It's a party.
Yeah.
It's a party. Full-blown party.
I drank so many beers at parties to this song. Get dizzy like Gillespie?
Yeah.
It's good.
I think I put two choruses in because why not?
Because it's a lot of words. And all the songs are like this.
Yeah, they get a chorus in it in 40 seconds.
Yeah.
And every song. And I'm like, whoa, they're fucking like... Yeah.
But it's like simple riffs with really smart changes and stuff. Like, the songwriting is fucking tight. It's really good.
But then, yeah, at the end where he goes, come on, baby, baby, come on. That's fucking the best.
Come on, everybody. So good.
It's dumb how catchy so that dumb. Song is. It's like ridiculous.
Fuck yeah.
But so that's the lead-in song, lead-in single. They blew the Fold A to B up as like a summer party record.
And if you're confused by the Fold A to B reference, it's a reference to like a Mad
Magazine.
A Mad Magazine fold-in cover where you'd have one image and then you would fold the point A to point B with a fold in the middle, and it would create another image from the outsides of the two images, which was actually in the CD. Like, if you open the CD case, you could fold A to B the booklet, and it had a full, like, an actual Mad fold-in on it.
But you know what? Like, that's pretty rad.
It was fucking awesome.
I need to just break for a second to say something about their Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Okay, Joey, what do you notice about their Wikipedia page? What do you notice about that picture? What is the singer wearing?
He's wearing a Mad Bomber Society
shirt. He's wearing a motherfucking Mad Bomber Society shirt.
That's fucking awesome.
Of OAO, who made, what the hell?
Our
How
very
do we come around full
song.
Circle on this?
Wow.
God damn it.
That's wild.
That has blown my goddamn mind, actually.
That's fucking sweet.
But I got more songs from Fold A to B. So let's listen to the other sort of single. And this is also a stupid catchy song. This is so the Roth good. Kung Fu.
It's
So this guitar tone is like never coming back, right? Like it's wild.
So good.
Yeah, it's actually crazy.
And the bass tone, like this bass player really knows how to switch between like a crunchy distorted tone and then like clean it up for all this stuff. Yeah. And
it's a one drop, buddy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Rose, I'm just a gigolo.
Yeah, right.
So good.
And that was a ska part with no ska riff in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, which I always think is fun. Yeah. Just a straight party.
Yeah, dude. All these songs. Just a,
again, 40 seconds.
Just a song with a whole bunch of references to David Lee Roth. Not just Van Halen, but yeah, David Lee Roth specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, the pop culture references are a blur. They're all over the place.
All
like,
over the place.
Yeah, again, like, just so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've got a big goddamn grin on my face listening to these stupid songs. Like, I'm just, like, having the best time. Like, I shouldn't be having as good a time about this, but I am. Like, when we were talking about the salads so much, I'm like, the fucking salads. And then I listen to these songs leading in, and I'm like,
what do they got for Spotify numbers? Are they going to get the CPSC bump?
They already get, like, 10,000. They get 10,000 a month.
Put them up to 11,000.
Yeah, let's get them up to 11,000.
Let's get them up to 11,000.
Fucking listen to Fold A to B on repeat. Yeah. Like, that's what you got to do.
Totally. But if you're having some beers, whatever, put it on. It's party music.
I would say there's far less problematic lyrics on this second record because it's a lot more like.
It's a lot just party.
It's just party. It's like stuff. Throw your hands in the air, grab a beer. I got a spliff in my hand.
There's a cute girl. Like it's a lot of just looking at hot girls and partying with your friends.
Yeah.
Which is pretty positive, generally speaking.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And I know you hate this comparison because I said it yesterday, but it does sound like Kazzer sometimes.
Yeah, it does have like a little bit of a Kazzer thing.
Which was of the when did that song come out? I think it would have been very similar. That song is actually not that good though. But
no, Kazzer, it's not.
Kazzer's not good. This is like the better version of Kazzer. Like, and I hope the salads listen.
Ben is like, yes, Kazzer. Everyone else is like, I have no fucking
clue what these Canadians are fucking talking about. Another one-hit wonder from the early aughts. I also want to know, what is the name of the genre that would have happened around this time that had that guitar tone that was like not quite metal, not quite rock, not quite post-grunge, but like Chevelle? You know, like bands like that were around.
What is that even called? Like radio rock,
right? Is that just like modern rock?
It's like modern rock, yeah. Butt rock, like kind of early proto butt rock,
right?
Proto butt rock because it was before butt rock formally kind of became a thing.
It's like proto butt rock. I like that.
Butt rock.
It's like post Our Lady Peace. Even like Our Lady Peace would fit in that though.
Our Lady Peace is pretty like 90s like quote Creed. Unquote indie rock kind of like Creed might fit into the proto butt rock for
it's
sure.
It's like it's just a sound, you know? Like you're just like nobody's writing like riffs like that or with that guitar tone.
I mean, they are. We're just not listening to the big rock station in town. Well, I am at work every day. It sucks.
Fair enough.
The songs suck actually.
All right, let's listen to another. I have 5 songs from this record, so let's.
It's so fucking good.
So this is called "Why It Gotta Be."
Why it gotta be?
Why it gotta be? So this has some kind of rapper named Skits on it, who I don't know. Who
is. And it's quite good.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I like the. No horns.
Oh yeah, the horn
free particular version of the band. Yeah,
I actually do think that they ditching the horn section was the right move.
Yeah,
there it is. That's the 311 guitar.
This is a 311 guitar riff for sure.
That's why I put this on. I was like, why did I do this? Oh yeah, that's right. The 311 riff.
But it's like a sweet like rap groove. It's cool. But the ties will never sever. We don't want to wait. Yeah. Sing alongable, that's for sure. We
don't need. Oh, this is interesting. At the time, they had a boss tone.
Oh, really?
Somebody who came on stage and just danced.
That's sick.
Libido is their name. I wonder if it's the female backing vocals.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just like female singer or dancer on stage.
Yeah, when I saw them, there was not that.
Okay.
But that sounds awesome. I like that.
Some other places you may have heard some of these songs. They were on the Eurotrip soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, Get Loose is on the Eurotrip soundtrack. Hell yeah, of course it was. They were on Labatt Blue commercials. Labatt Blue being our Bud Light.
Come on, everybody, get loose tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, here's his Eurotrip. Band was also featured playing the song in Instant Star, which was a TV show. It was a musical show that was in Canada.
A Canadian one?
Yeah.
That's why I never heard of it.
And it was also featured, one of their songs was featured in Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Sick.
That's an aggressively Canadian lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They worked the CanCon angle. You guys got to have at least 30%. We're part of 30%.
All right, before we take a break, let's listen to one more track off Full Day to Be. This is called Who We Are. There's a distinct Goldfinger love on this, on some of these songs too, with like the way they do the like the English beady thing.
Yeah.
And this is like got a Sublime-y vocal delivery.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's everything but like nothing all at the same. You know what I mean? It's like all the influences but not
that's
the influences.
Good though.
Yeah.
A good band will show its influences but sound original, right? And I'd say this is pretty original sounding.
Just nonstop hooks.
Yeah, nonstop.
Nonstop hooks.
Dude, love this album.
All right, let's take a break. When we get back, more salads. Bye-bye. This episode of Checkered Past is brought to you by BlendJet. Celine, you like to make smoothies?
I make smoothies every single morning.
Tell me about your smoothie journey.
Well, it's my only way I can get vegetables in my body because I like yummy, brown, golden fried delicious things. So I often call it my scurvy juice to prevent scurvy.
What do you put in your smoothies every morning?
Well, I am a little spinach bitch and a banana. Pro tip, bananas make every smoothie taste good. Okay, banana, chocolate oat milk, and some like legit peanut butter, a little bit of spinach. You're laughing and that tastes like a delicious treat. Well, I just got a BlendJet.
What?
And I've actually been able to make my smoothies fresher because I'll put the ingredients in and take it with me to work because it's portable. And I'll make my smoothie like right before I drink it.
You hit the nail on the head because BlendJet 2 by BlendJet is portable. So you can blend up a smoothie at work, a protein shake at the gym, or even a margarita on the beach. It's small enough to fit in a cup holder, but powerful enough to blast through tough ingredients like ice and frozen fruit with ease. BlendJet 2 is whisper quiet, so you can make your morning smoothie without waking up the whole house. Lasts for 15 blends and recharges quickly via USB-C. Best of all, BlendJet 2 cleans itself. Just blend water with a drop of soap and you're good to go. We got a couple BlendJet 2s. I got mine with like the black marble.
It's like a fancy like
it's very
faux marble.
Yeah, thing. It's got like kind of some doodly energy to it, yeah, I guess.
A little mask.
It's a little mask. I'm not always masked.
I have a leopard print one.
I do some femmes.
Leopard print?
Talk to me about your leopard print.
It's pretty fucking fun.
There was another leopard print we were spying.
But like it was rainbow leopard. It was Lisa fucking Frank.
Lisa fucking Frank, Lisa y'all. Fucking Frank. There's all kinds of crazy ass colors. That's one of the best things about BlendJet too. So here's what you need to do. Go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today. And be sure to use the promo code. Use that promo code CHECKERED12 to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. No other portable blender on the market comes close to the quality, power, and innovation of the BlendJet 2. They guarantee you'll love it or your money back. Blend anytime, anywhere with the BlendJet 2 portable blender. Go to BlendJet.com and use the code CHECKERED12.
CHECKERED12.
To get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. Shop today and get the best deal ever. Get it for your scurvy juice. Lisa fucking Frank. Welcome back to Checkered Past. Engineer Joey and Rob here, and we're talking the salads. And we got one more track from Full Day to Be.
possibly the best song on the album.
What's it called, Joey?
What you looking at? Yeah. I believe that's the whole title.
That's the title, yeah. And it's spelled exactly as you thought it would.
It's so ridiculous. What a bananas song. That is very fun. Wayne throws a party, gets down real funky. Lots of partying.
Yeah.
What you looking at? So good.
Like, when you play this song live, people would lose their minds.
Fuck, bouncing.
Yeah.
Pogoing. The solo thing?
That came in on the solo.
So sick. Yeah, this was pretty sick live. The people at... Okay, I'll tell the story after.
Sweet picking is... Awesome. Yeah,
bananas. So when I saw them, it must have been maybe on the release of this next one we're going to talk about. What year was that?
2006, Big Picture.
Right, yeah. Around there. That they may have been touring for this album.
Right.
But I saw them at a Grant McEwen toga party.
Right.
And for those who don't live in Edmonton, we have... NAIT, which is right. A technical institute, which is like a college. And we have the University of Alberta, which is like a university.
Yeah.
And then we have Grant McEwen, which is kind of in the middle.
Right.
It's
a university now.
It's a university.
But when
now.
I was a kid, it wasn't. When I went there, it was still a college.
And yeah. It is kind of in the middle. It's kind of accreditations are sort of right in between the other two. But it definitely has a more college-y... university-y, fratty kind of vibe to it than some of the other schools in Edmonton, that's for sure. And we went to this show, which was like in a hall on campus, and it was put on by a frat or something, and they were having a toga party. So it was all these like we were in like our mid 2006, I would have been like 23, 24, something like that. So we were just there to drink beer and watch the salads. And all these like 18-year-old kids were like there to have a toga party and had no idea who the salads were, I don't think.
Right.
So when the salads came on stage and they started like playing that.
Right.
Like some kids were like into it and other kids were like, what the fuck is going on here? And there was like nobody like it was a sad turnout. They must have got like paid really well, I think, for that.
Colleges pay well.
Yeah.
Colleges pay well.
But it was – I fucking enjoyed myself. But they played like a cover of Hot for Teacher.
Oh, of course.
Because the guitarist and the drummer are extremely good. The bass player. The whole band is really, really good. But they, like, played a cover of Hot for Teacher. That song, like, fucking went off for the amount of people that were there. It was sick, but it was kind of sad to see them for, like... There's, like, literally, like, 15 people enjoying the show and then, like, probably 50... to 75 people like standing around the outside of the like where the pit would there. Be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good. We're talking about that album. So that third album is called The Big Picture and it came out in 2006, again, self-released and through EMI for distribution. It only had one single and it was basically ska-free. And it is basically a straight alternative rock record.
Yeah.
There isn't as much, it's still a bit of a party. It's not as much of a big party. It's
kind of more along the lines of that song we heard right before the break.
Yeah, a little
when
bit.
I come around. That one's a little kind of slower and.
Yeah, it's vibier. A little bit more mid paced. Yeah. More vibes. Yeah. Like no ska, no reggae. It's just like right down the middle rock music. The funk metal stuff is kind of gone. So I only queued up one song, and that was the single, which was A Better Way. And this is pretty. Tells you a lot of what they sounded like at this time.
It's very on par with what bands were doing in Canada around the same time. Sum 41 sounded a lot like this at that same time.
Yep.
Even bands like Treble Charger and Gob were starting to sound like this right around the time. This was at this time in Canadian rock music, like punk derived rock music, I would say.
Yeah.
All of them sounded like this.
Yeah. Just like really, really downturned guitars, lots of palm mutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money beats. Like, yeah.
Yeah. A little more hot water music, a little less pop.
Right.
Yeah.
And this album was also when they were on Warped Tour. So okay, between 2006 and 2008, you may have seen them on Warped Tour.
I mean, still pretty decent. Catchy, hooky.
Yeah, it's still catchy. And it was basically a record about, in some ways, about them being sort of like pushed away in the music industry a little bit. So
okay.
It was a little bit thematic in its delivery. So, but we won't spend a lot of time on that because it's pretty ska-free. Worth a listen. It's not bad.
Yeah,
compared to Fold A to B, it's quite a bit of a stark change in their approach. But the next record is one I got another five songs on, because this was a bit of a change as well. So this next one is called Music Every Day is the name of the record. And one of the biggest changes was their drummer got switched out.
Okay.
For a certain guy called Darren Pfeiffer.
Darren Pfeiffer, that's
of
right.
Of the Goldfinger.
That's this, right.
After his coconut ass got kicked out of the band, he went on to join the Salads. And this record came out in 2012.
So the ska is back, baby?
The ska is back, baby, in a big way. And I'd say, like, at the expense of a lot of the funk metal, like, they just brought a lot of ska and reggae back.
That's right.
This first song that they had was a single, and it had Angelo Moore on it, and it's the title track, Music Every
That's
Day.
That's pretty ska.
He's a ska guy.
Yeah. Well, now Darren's there, and Angelo's there. Music. I like that he's pretty good for not doing like any sort of like appropriative accent or anything. He, you know, like he sort of just raps like a weird dude.
What, Angelo Moore?
No, the singer of the
band. Oh, yeah. Well, that was Angelo Moore singing.
But I was thinking like Angelo raps kind of weird too.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, they work well together.
The lyrics are back to being not as much of a party and more about just like chilling.
Positivity.
Yeah, positivity, PMA.
Yeah.
Just being like some happy-go-lucky fellas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a lot of bitching and complaining. It's a lot of singing about stuff they like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff they like, this next song's called Weed and Wine.
Good stuff. Love it.
This is like another song that people may know, and I don't know why people would know this. I'm just blanking if it was on something, but I know people who know this song.
What year was this one?
2012. How do you feel about that? Sort of.
I like it.
Yeah, almost a rockabilly delivery.
I just like that he's rhyming things very tenuously.
Yeah, again, always.
Or rather, making things that kind of rhyme really well, but I'm just pronouncing them badly.
Yeah, you know, baby, come on.
Get a little of Roth Kung Fu in there.
Yeah. It's catchy. That's like, they're at their skiest, I'd say.
Yeah.
This is like the skiest they've ever been.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, this next song is chock-a-block with guests in a way that almost doesn't make sense.
Really?
So this has two guest people on it. This has David Wilcox.
Is it really called Money, Money Sign, Money Sign?
Yes.
Okay.
And that is actually
the word money and then
the $2 signs. That's correct. That's the name of the song. I did not type that to be funny. That is what it's called.
Got it.
But yes, David Wilcox is on this song.
Life for me is a riverboat fantasy, watching the sun go down. That guy.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Yeah, I don't know how he got cat. Hooked up with them, but he did.
He shreds.
And Brian Byrne of I Mother Earth is also on this song.
The singer? The second singer.
The second singer, not the guy
more
that
more recent singer.
Yeah, okay. What's the main guy? Star something. Edwin Starr, Edwin, right? Yeah. Who also had a solo career of sorts. Yeah. Is I Mother Earth too Canadian? I don't know. That's another band that's from Canada that fucking, I'm like, does anybody know who they are?
I Mother Earth is in my karaoke repertoire.
There you go. So two aggressively one Canadian more people astronaut. Are on a song called Money, $$. Let's listen to that.
Okay. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. That's got to be David Wilcox. See, it's like a weird low voice.
Right.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. It don't make dollars if it don't make sense. Gotta pay the rent.
Just trying to survive. This has a real Fishbone feel to it as well. Yeah. Like,
he's speaking the truth, though. Yeah. I wanna sing a little bit about the money. That's kind of sick.
Right?
Yeah.
What a move, hey?
It's true. You make it sound like Hungry Weasel. This is sick. Okay, so not all positivity.
No, but I mean,
that's
still,
pretty good.
Still, it's pretty.
That was pretty sick. Yeah,
pretty ripping, yeah. Right? What a shocker!
Yeah, I was surprised.
It doesn't really sound anything like that after this. So the next song we have is called. This is the last bit of this song. It's called "Last Call," the alcohol song, because it features the drummer singer of the band The Johnstones, Ryan Long of the Long and McQuaid, Joey's
fame.
Former employer. Yep.
And many musicians in Canada's employers.
There's your rock kung fu.
This also sounds just like a Canadian,
yeah.
Like a Bryan Adams or...
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. This is almost like a Suburban Legends-y type of thing, too. Pretty soon, you'll hear Ryan Long's... I don't know what you want to call it. The way he sings. Wait. Where is it? No, it's got to be coming up soon. A lot of shredding.
It's a pretty sweet riff.
Tappy tappies.
I can't play that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sweet dip. There he is.
He's doing the... I don't know where you're gonna go. He's doing that.
What's the Johnstone sound like? Yeah. I got no time for the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listened to that first Johnstone record.
Yeah. So good. What I think that actually was?
What?
Is I think that's a callback to the end of a fucking Ugly Kid Joe song.
That's.
Which
bananas.
Is really funny
that
because there's an Ugly Kid Joe song that has that same fucking ending, and the rap part is like the guy from Ugly Kid Joe going, that's hilarious if that's the case.
Why is this the most Canadian episode we've done?
Ugly Kid Joe's U.S.
Are they? I thought Ugly Kid Joe. Who am I thinking of then?
I don't know.
Okay, but that's still great.
Yeah, still very funny. What a funny reference. Because Ugly Kid Joe is definitely like a fucking D-tier hair metal band.
D-tier. I'm looking up Ugly Kid Joe.
Ugly as they want to be, my friend.
1989, and they were in, California. California. Yeah, you nailed it. All right, one last song to close up our talk of the salads. This is called Sunny Monday, which is about not having a job.
Sick.
And it's the final song on the album, so.
A little acoustic closer.
With a little subliminess.
Yeah.
Gotta close it up with some sublime. The weekend's gone, but that's okay.
Off to the beach to catch some rays. Oh, it's got like a little boom bap machine too.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. I'll be fine. You know I dislike a just acoustic song. I control my destiny. Rewind back to good times of yesterday. Make it what you see. All the clouds have gone away. That's catchy. It's all right.
They write hooks.
Yeah.
The one thing you take away is that they write catchy songs. It's like their whole thing. They want you to sing along.
Yeah.
They told you that in at least a couple songs.
They want you to do a lot of stuff. They want you to get loose. They want you to sing along.
Yeah.
They want you to smoke weed.
Smoke weed, yeah.
Drink wine.
They're simple people. Simple dudes.
Yeah.
Plus Darren Pfeiffer on the drums. Just a reminder.
And Angelo's there sometimes.
It's a wacky fourth record. It's got a lot going on, and there's a lot of guests. There's a lot of people in the industry on it. So,
I mean, they're like 75% ska band.
They're more ska than a lot of the ska bands we've talked about that are considered ska bands.
They had one album that wasn't very
that
ska.
That was zero ska. One that was not a lot, and then two that were pretty aggressively ska.
That's pretty good.
They got a good ska hit rate. If you're a ska fan, they got a lot going on.
Hey, the Salads. If you're out there listening to this,
yeah,
ska's popping at the moment. So put out another record.
And honestly, the most recent one, again, lyrics, pretty simple stuff.
Put it on Maui Waui. Just do it.
Yeah. Last 2012, they put out a pretty decent record. I mean, Fold A to B is number one.
Fuck yeah. Now's the time.
Number two.
You guys.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Now's the time, Salads. Come on.
Any last minute thoughts on the Salads other than imploring them to come back?
Fucking, I love Fold A to B. And this... That late, now that we've listened to a bunch of songs off that, I did listen to that 2014 album a couple of times, and it's fucking good. It's all good. Like, I mean, the other two albums, whatever. Actually, I would probably listen to a few songs off that Radio Rocky kind of record, because it's pretty good alternative rock.
Right.
You know? But the Fold A to B is my fucking... there isn't a bad song on it. It's good.
I love it.
And... I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it has a really stupid, really stupid secret song.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Real dumb.
Dumb.
So, but it's definitely worth listening to at least one time for the lulls, for sure.
Thanks for listening to Checkered Past. Hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at CheckeredPastPod or send us an email at CheckeredPastPod@gmail.com. To support the podcast, you can sign up for the Checkerhead Patreon to get the episodes uncut, both audio or video format. Or you can buy some merch at CheckeredPast.ca. Our trombonuses are engineered and edited by Joey.
It's me.
And our trombonist theme was provided by Keelan. And we're going to be at SPI Fest.
Hell yeah.
May 17th.
That's Windsor, Connecticut.
A Friday, Windsor, Connecticut. We're kicking off the show.
We'll be there Saturday as well.
Yeah, we'll be there doing stuff the whole time.
But we're going to be on stage on Friday.
And come say hi, give us a handshake, get some stickers, get some merch.
Buy a shirt so we don't have to bring them back to Canada with us.
All that is gas money for us to get back because we're doing a lot of driving.
Yep.
We're putting some miles on our rental.
We're driving from Canada, you guys. We're flying across Canada and then we're driving from Canada.
Yeah, so we get to see your lovely country.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy it. And SPIFest.org for ticks.
Yep.
For ticks.
Yeah, yeah.
And next week, our episode will be the conclusion of the Scott Ventures Guild Dungeons & Dragons Real Play series. So thanks for everybody for listening to those. They were a lot of fun to put together.
Hell yeah.
And they're a lot of work to edit, so thank you.
And then also they're very fun to do the photo.
Yeah, the photos are bananas. Where we go out of our way on those.
Having a good time.
Good job, Joey.
Thank you.
And until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Joey.
And in the immortal words of the Salads, sip, sipping on scissorp, I skip the main course, go straight to the dessert.